The text is the Matthew 13 reading on the back of your insert. But I'm going to read the second half of it now, the explanations. I'm starting a little further up than your text, than your insert does. The disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Why do you speak to the people in parables?" He replied, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches it away. And what is sown in the heart snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The one who received the seed that fell on the rocky places is the man who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since he has no root, he lasts only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, he quickly falls away. The one who received the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word. But the worries of life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful. But the one who received the word that fell on good soil is the man who hears the word and understands it. He produces a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown." Here ends the text. Soylent Green is a 1973 sci-fi movie. It's set in 2022. The crowning shocking revelation is that this new miracle food source is made from dead people. Charlton Heston, being carried away by pleas, keeps crying out to the spectators, "Soylent Green is people! Soylent Green is people!" Jesus tells the parable to all, but the explanation, he only tells to those given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. That's you. And the shocking revelation is, the soil is people. The parable shows you three kinds of people. Though there are three kinds, there's only one result: unbelief. No matter how you get there, unbelief is unbelief. Some is not better than others. One is not closer to the truth. The soil is people, and there are different ways they receive the seed, which is the word of God. But unbelief of it always results in the same thing: unfruitfulness. The good seed does not bear the fruit of everlasting life. But unbelievers get there three different ways. Some are hardened to the word. They think as they hear or read the scripture, yeah, we're all sinners. Yeah, there's no one righteous. We all fall short of the glory of God. They're hardened to the word. Not convicted by the law, they can't be comforted by the gospel. And the good seed of the word hits their rock-hard heart and bounces off. Others do receive the good seed of the word, and they receive it with joy. They're saved. Their sins are forgiven. They no longer need to be afraid of coming judgment or of everlasting death. They're so happy. They're so relieved. They've been reprieved. They've been pardoned. Their sentence of everlasting death has been commuted to everlasting life. Up springs the plant of the Christian life, growing wildly, frenetically. But no deep roots are being formed. And so when the sun rises, it scorches their Christian life to death. Still, others grow further still. These people receive the word in enough soil to grow, and they even begin to bear fruit. But they live among thorns, which grow faster and choke the Christian life right out of them. The soil is people. So what sort of soil are you? I sometimes listen to The Natural Gardener on Sunday or Saturday mornings on my drive in. Oftentimes, the answer to the caller's question is to get their soil tested. Any real nursery can do that. Some government agencies do too. What sort of dirt are you? Only the explanation of the parable leads us to ask this. Just hearing the parable won't do it. It's only when you hear the explanation of the evil one, troubled in persecution because of the word, and of worries and wealth choking a person into unfruitfulness, that you ask, "Well, what sort of soil am I?" I can test you. When you look up in the rafters right now, above you here, you see Satan perched there like a grackle ready to snatch the word after it bounces off the hard-packed soil of hardened hearts. If not, you don't believe Jesus' words that the evil one is ever at hand, like so many birds ready to snatch his words away from you. Luke's record is scarier still. The devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts that they may not believe it and be saved. That's you. If you don't see the evil one like a big black crow sitting above you ready to dive in, that's you. Soil is people, and your shallow soil, if all you expect from Christ is joy, joy, joy. Of course there's that. The angel comes on the first Christmas preaching to the shepherds good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. The word does not just bring joy, however, but trouble and persecution. In other words, those not receiving the word at all won't have these troubles and persecutions. They come because of the word, Jesus says. Going by what I hear, see, and read, the most unpopular thing you can be today is a conservative, Bible-believing Christian of any denomination. Our believing that there is no salvation other than in the name of Jesus, well, it's shockingly intolerant. Our believing that people deceive themselves when they think fornicators, adulterers, homosexuals, drunkards, and thieves can enter the kingdom of God. That view is at best unenlightened or unwoke, and at worst, it's racist. Our believing that abortion is murder, that God created the heavens and the earth in 6 days, and that angels, demons, and hell are real, that's primitive religion at best, and at worst, it's the sin of all sins, unscientific. If you confess any of these publicly, openly, you'll bring trouble and persecution on yourself. If you fall in the face of it, well, you know what kind of dirt you are. Soil is people, and your soil that has thorns growing in it, if the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of riches choke off your Christian life. Notice Jesus says, it, the word, becomes unfruitful. You know how tomatoes put on those little green ones at first? That's where we're at. And then Ray LaMontagne sings his plaintive song, worry, worry, worry. Worry will just not leave, will just, worry just will not seem to leave my mind alone. When does the worry end? Asks a shipwreck survivor waiting to hear news of her husband. When will the coronavirus stop chasing me with 10,000 worries about myself, my loved ones, my kids, and grandkids? And you don't think riches deceive me? Ha! The joke's on you. Every retirement show, ad, article I read tells me riches are my only hope in old age. And I believe it. And I invest more in this life than I do in the next. So you see, I'm not even soil, let alone rich potting soil or Miracle-Gro garden soil. I'm just dirt. I'm pig pen. A cloud of dirt goes where I go, soiling everything. And I don't just track in dirt. I am dirt. Wait a minute. There's more. Jesus speaks of good soil. Good soil receives the word of God with understanding and produces a Christian life way out of proportion to on what has now been sown. What makes soil good? We're told each Ash Wednesday, remember you are dust, and to dust you shall return. That's from Genesis 3:19. Dust can be translated dirt. Adam, the first man, shares a common root with Adama. Genesis 2:2 says, the Lord God formed man, and that's the word Adama, Adam, excuse me, of dust from the Adama. The second Adam, God the Son, descended into our dirt, our dust, our soil, through the Virgin Mary's womb in order to raise it with him all the way to heaven itself. Death being exalted to heaven, you have to admit, is way out of proportion to what soil like us could expect. In the explanation of Matthew, we're told in a roundabout way that the seed is the word of God. Jesus calls it the message about the kingdom. Well, in Luke, he's plainer spoken. The seed is the word of God, he says. What makes good soil? our deciding to be good soil, our determination to be good soil, and this time I mean it? No, the Word of God does. His law and gospel, his teaching of the truth of sin and the surprise of grace, his proclaiming the miracle of creation and the greater miracle of recreation, his preaching condemnation and justification into our ears. That's what makes good soil. In the parable of the fig tree, in parabolic language, the Jesus figure turns up the soil around the barren fig and fertilizes it. There you have it, law and gospel. Jesus, by means of this text, shows us that that on our own, we're nothing but sinners to the rock-hard bottom of our hearts, and God's word left to ourselves would bounce off, and Satan would snatch it away. Left to ourselves, we will turn tail and run from the word when troubles and persecution rise because of it. And on my own, the worries of this life, and if it weren't the coronavirus, there would be another, I have a bottomless pit of them. On my own, the worries of this life will choke off my faith, my trust, my hope in God. Left to my own devices, I will lean on the riches of this life, even though Scripture repeatedly says they are fleeting, and I should not chase after them. Could the Lord be any clearer than 1 Timothy 6:9? Those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. Yet, like an endless aching need, I desire the very thing that will choke the Christian life right out of me. Thanks be to God, the Lord has not left me to my own devices, but sent his only beloved Son where no man has gone and come back from before. He went into the devil's fortress and rescued me from sin, death, and the devil's power. After living the holy life I couldn't even dream of, so soiled are even my dreams, he went to the cross in the dirt I'm made of. But his dirt was holy and pure and smelled of heaven. Yet when he went to hell on that cross for 3 hours, that lasted an eternity. Don't you like how the litany spells out what Jesus did for us and our salvation? By thy baptism, fasting, and temptation, by thine agony and bloody sweat, by thy cross and passion, by thy precious death and burial, by thy glorious resurrection and ascension. These are the things of our salvation, and by the written, the audible, and the visible word of the sacraments, these things are pushed into our ears, creating the faith that makes them fruitful to us. The Gospels use three different words for what the good soil does with the word. Mark says that it receives the word for itself. Matthew says that it is ever hearing and understanding the word. And Luke says that it holds fast the word for itself. The soil is people. The soil is people. You know what kind of person you are by how you receive the word. Are you receiving the word Jesus speaks today for yourself? Or do you think, well, so-and-so needs to hear this? Are you ever hearing and understanding, that is, putting things together? Seeing, oh, I'm hard in rocky soil and thorny soil, but Jesus became dirt due to the miracle of making me good soil. Are you holding fast the word for yourself? Can you see Satan's one mission is to snatch that from you? The Roman persecutors of Christianity, they quickly learned that killing Christians did no good. Church Father Tertullian famously said, "The blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church." So instead, Rome went after the scriptures, the word. We live in a country where we are free to read, to hear, to learn scripture. May we be the soil that Christ redeemed us to be, and will be bigger and more fruitful than Jack's famous beanstalk. Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.